Today's scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends. It's my privilege to share God's word with you. Would you come together with me to ask God to help us listen to this morning message? Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask of you to grant us a listening and humbling heart to hear your word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on you. May your Spirit guide me in delivering your word and ministering to your people in today's sharing. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you received or written a letter before? In this day and age, it is quite rare to receive one or even to write one. I remember I wrote some letters to my mother when I was studying in Perth. In that era, there was no so-called internet, as it was not yet accessible to the general public. Neither was there any WhatsApp or using handphones. So it was just using a landline phone or coin-operated public phone, public pay phones, to call home. I remember I had to brave the cold winter to get into a public phone booth outside my student housing. And I had to rehearse what I had to say to my mum with the few minutes worth of Aussie coins. However, I would also write letters to my mother, which I could say more than the coin-operated public phone allowed, or more than my wallet allowed. My letters were always written half in Chinese and half in English, because I have forgotten how to write quite a lot of Chinese characters, and I also forgot to pack a Chinese dictionary. When I returned to Singapore, back from my studies in Australia, my brothers shared with me that my mum would often take out my letters and read it again and again. Of course, she read the Chinese portion. I wrote to my mom to tell her about the weather in Perth, about the new environment that I was in, about what I saw and what I did in Perth, that I really study hard and not laze around. And also what I cook. Actually, I was not able to cook until the days in Perth. Basically, I wrote to assure her that I was adapting well in a foreign land and could take care of myself. I also wrote to ask her to take care of herself. although I didn't write, "Mommy, I miss you," but the heart of my letters to her was that I really miss her and also wanted to allay her worries and concerns for me. I didn't ask for more money. The letters that I wrote to my mom expressed my heart for her, my concerns for her, and to assure her that I was well and that I could look after myself. The letters I wrote to my mom carried my heart to her. Apostle Paul also wrote many letters to the Christians, and his letter to the Philippians is one of them, and that is the focus of our sermon series. What is the heart of Apostle Paul when he wrote the letter to the Philippians believers, to the Christians? Paul had a deep affection for the church in Philippi. Although he was in prison, his letter to the Philippians spoke of his heart to them. Paul says, "I hold you in my heart," verse 7. "I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus," chapter 1, verse 8. "My brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown," chapter 4, verse 1. You see, the Philippi Christians were partners with Paul in the defense of the gospel. Their shared oneness in Christ is seen in their partnership in the gospel by their common suffering and common joy in Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, starting with verse 3, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Verse 29 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Verse 30, "Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here that I still have." The church in Philippi was the first Christian community that Paul started in Eastern Europe. In chapter 1, we see that Paul was imprisoned because of the gospel. The early Christians were being persecuted. They were imprisoned because of their faith and what they believed in. Christianity was in a way causing tension in the country. Philippi was a Roman colony. The Roman government felt that Christians were a threat. For the Roman government, there was only one Lord, Emperor Caesar. The Christians were devoted to another Lord and Savior, and so Christians were persecuted because they refused to declare Caesar as Lord. Paul faced resistance there for announcing Jesus as the true King of the world. After Paul had moved on from Philippi, those who became followers of Jesus continued to suffer persecution. Paul's letter to the Philippi Christian also carried his concern for them on their way of life in the face of outside opposition and internal strife. So besides persecution from outside the church, Paul also addressed issues that were happening within the church. In the Christian community, there were also division forming. In chapter 1, verse 15, Paul mentioned how some were preaching the gospel out of envy and selfish ambition. Verse 15 says, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill." Verse 16, "The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment." In chapter 4, verse 2, he also addressed some tension within the church. He mentioned the names of two individuals, Euodia and Syntyche, who seemed to have some disagreements and encouraged them to be in the same mind in the Lord. Verse 2 says, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Hence, as Christians, In Paul's time, they experienced hostility on two fronts: persecution from outside the church and disunity within the church. So Paul begins his call to unity in chapter 1, where he encourages his fellow Christian to live a manner worthy of the gospel, to stand firm together in one spirit in the midst of these difficult and trying times, and to persevere on together as one so that the gospel work can continue. Chapter 1, verse 27 to 28a says, he says, "Only let your manner of life to be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents." Not only Paul expressed his deep affection for the Philippi Christians in the letter and appealed to the Christians to live a manner worthy of the gospel, he also wrote specifically to correct their way of life, as their self-centeredness, pride, complaining, arguing, disagreement, and division in the Philippian church weigh heavily on his heart. You can see in chapter 2, verse 3 to 8, verse 12 to 13, and chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. With all this in mind, Paul continues his encouragement in chapter 2 by appealing to them to be united. Their oneness is in Christ, as Christ is the source of unity. Let's look at the passage from verses 1 to 4. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility counts others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." When a person turns to God, we begin to see the Spirit working in our hearts. We are individually humbled when we see our sinfulness and our inability to save ourselves. Christ comforts us when we confess our sins, and he assures us of his forgiveness and unites us to him. Our hearts are open, and we fully understand the extent of his mercy and compassion to our wretched lives. All these are only possible when the Spirit works in our hearts and slowly transform us to be like Christ. This is the mark of the Spirit's work in our lives. In verses 1 to and 2, Apostle Paul affirms the believers that Christ has united all of them together, with each of them experiencing Christ's encouragement, love, comfort, and working of the Spirit in their lives. In simpler words, he tells them, now as Christians, you would all have experienced Christ's encouragement, his comfort, his love, and the work of the Spirit. Now that you know that God has worked in the same way in each of us, we should all have same mindset of unity and oneness in Christ. Their oneness is in Christ. Their oneness comes from this new life in Christ. And that is the key to keep working and serving together in unity. However, Paul also reminds the believers to watch their hearts as they serve one another. They are to do away with any personal agenda selfish desires, and pride. They are to be humble and to always think of the needs of one another. All of us struggle with humility wherever we are, in our homes, in the office, and even in the church. Whenever relationships are involved, there will always be pride in our hearts. What does it take to break unity in church? Charles Spurgeon shared in his sermon on dogs fighting each other instead of the wolves that Philip Melanchthon, a German Lutheran reformer, mourned in his day the divisions among Protestants and sought to bring the Protestants together by a parable of the war between the wolves and the dogs. The wolves were somewhat afraid, for the dogs were many and strong, and therefore they sent out a spy to observe them. On his return, the scout said, "It is true, the dogs are many, but there are not many mastiffs among them. There are dogs of so many sorts, one can hardly count them. As for the most of them," said he, "they are little dogs, which bark loudly, but cannot bite. However, this did not cheer me so much," said the wolf, "as this, that as they came marching on, I observed they all snapping right and left at one another. And I could see clearly that though they all hate the wolf, yet each dog hates every other dog with all his heart." Charles Spurgeon shared in his sermon that, "I fear it is true still, for there are many who snap right and left, followers of Jesus too, when they had better save their teeth for the wolves. If our enemies are to be put to confusion, it must be by the united efforts of all the people of God. Unity is strength." What does it take to break the unity in church? By our snapping at one another, by our disagreements, by our quarrelsome spirits, by our pride. How does our oneness in Christ look like in church, in PSPC? Or what does it take to break the oneness in Christ? Do our priorities compete with one another? Do our preferences clash with one another in church? Do we snap at one another with our disagreements, dislikes, or preferences? Do we refuse to talk to one another when we disagree, when our preferences or pride get in the way? Perhaps we might say, "I find it easy to talk to some, serve with some, give thanks for some, and pray for some. But there are others where we rub each other the wrong way." Paul says, "Since your status is in Christ Jesus, love one another as I have loved you." Thus, love is not towards to some, but to all. We are bound tight to Christ, in Christ, not outside of Christ. Our oneness is found in Christ, rooted in Christ. Paul appeals to the Philippi Christians to be united in Christ. The call of unity is in Christ. This call of unity among brothers and sisters in Christ is not easy to lift up in practice in the daily friction that try our patience with one another, or when pride gets in the way. When things don't go our way, it is easy to move away from people, move on to another ministry, to the next congregation, rather to stay and work through hurt feelings or competing vision. What divides us as a church? what will pull us apart? Paul warned us of self-centeredness, individualism, that threaten to pull us apart. Paul warns that these can divide the church. Paul's letter conveys his heart to the Philippi Christians to be one in Christ, to get along with one another, to stop being selfish, to care as much about others' concerns as about your own, because of our oneness in Christ. May God humble us to put aside our selfishness, our pride, our preferences that divide our church. Hence, Paul appeals the Christian to put on the mind of Christ, to be like Christ. Next slide. Thus, this is a call to put on the mind of Christ, our pattern of life after Christ. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And Paul goes on to present Christ as the ultimate example of the selfishness required to demonstrate unity. Chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, we hear that Christ, who was in the form of God, took a servant's nature and died on a cross. For Paul, this poem expresses his conviction who Jesus is. But it does more than that. It offers the example of Jesus as a way of life that his followers are to imitate, to put on the mind of Christ, his humility as an example. Paul appeals to Christians in Philippi, whom he holds dearly in his heart, and wrote to them while in prison, to put on the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ, in his humility, gave up his status and glory as the Son of God, to be a man, to live among us, not to be served, but to serve, and finally, to give his own life that we might live. Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is the perfect example of someone who does not have selfish ambition or pride and who is always considering the needs of others. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "Jesus saw our needs and so humbled himself, not ceasing to be God, but taking on human nature and appearing in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and was obedient even unto death, even death on a cross, the punishment melted out to slaves and robbers." Paul tells us to look at Jesus, who not only gave up his prestige, but he also served others at the cost of his life. Humility is about putting others first. It's about serving others. It's about sacrifice. In a world where power means everything, Jesus teaches us otherwise. Jesus teaches us how to be humble, to always think of the needs of others. In his life, Jesus showed us what it means to be a humble servant. When he served others by providing them food, healing them, talking with them. On one occasion, he even went on his knees to wash his disciples' feet, to teach them about what it means to be a servant leader. Jesus used all the power and prestige he had, not for his glory, but to serve others. Because of Christ's humility, God raised him up and gave him a name that is above all names. The day will come with every knee will bow to him, and everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord, so that ultimately God's name will be glorified. How is your heart this morning? How has your heart been? Perhaps it's time for us to examine our hearts. Who is Christ Jesus to you? Where does he fit in your life? What do you believe concerning him? Have you bowed your knees to him? Have you surrendered to him? Is he the Lord of your lives? You see, this unity was a real issue in the early church, and it's still an issue in our present Christian churches. We have seen many churches splitting up because leaders and pastors had selfish desires and pride in their hearts, and their hearts were not right with God. We also have Christians in church who have their little cliques because they could not see eye to eye with others. Or pride has their final say that caused a rift among brothers and sisters in Christ. And that war distanced the relationship among brothers and sisters. Perhaps they are not in talking terms anymore, let alone serving together. It eats up the church. It hinders the growth of the church. When our hearts are not right with God, our relationship with him, with our brothers and sisters in church will also be affected. It will affect the way we think, the ways we face up to our problems. It also affects our attitude towards how we see others. In my early years of ministry, I had someone in my team who said to me, "I cannot run as fast as you are." She doesn't mean the physical run. She meant that she could not keep up with me with the rate on how I did my ministries. She said, "If you continue to be like this, I will be lagging very far behind you." When she said so point blank at me, my first reaction could be, what do you mean? Whatever that I did, it was for the children, it was for God. I meant it well. However, before I could retaliate, the Spirit of God nudged me to put on the mind of Christ, to be humble, to seek to hear my teammates out, my fellow co-worker, my sister in Christ. It was very humbling. I felt embarrassed, but at the same time, lean on the grace of God to ask her for forgiveness, and we work out the best arrangement in the ministry. By putting the mind of Christ, it helped me to put away my pride. It further solidified our relationship, and we were able to iron out our differences and not cause a split in the team. The ministry didn't suffer, and neither did our relationships. Have we, instead of serving one another in love and humility, perhaps thought ourselves higher or more self-important than our fellow brothers and sisters? Have we ever thought that the ministry we are in are more important or more significant than the others? Why do you do what you're doing in service to God in the church? Are you driven by self-centered motives, even when you're supposedly helping others? Are you self-serving while serving others, wanting and hoping to be noticed so that you receive appreciation and recognition that you think you deserve? Whether we express it outwardly or not, do you nurse resentment when your hard work is ignored or your brilliant ideas are not followed? If we have, it's time for us to put on the mind of Christ, to be humble before the Lord, and make our hearts right again before Him. John Calvin once said that the unity of His servant is so much esteemed by God that He will not have His glory sounded forth amidst discords and contentions. How does our oneness in Christ look like in PSPC? Would we strive to get along with one another when our ideas, opinions, expectations clash? Would we strive not to be self-centered, but other-centered? Would we put the needs of our brothers and sisters first? Would we care as much about others' concern as about our own? Would our ministry get in the way of one another or flourish by our oneness in Christ? Would our BRP project a cause of divisions or unity? How does the mind of Christ look like in our church, in our ministries, in our relationship with one another? Paul says, "It is yours in Christ Jesus." A former missionary told the story of two rugged, powerful mountain goats who met on a narrow pathway joining two mountain ridges. So narrow the bridge that there was no room to turn around, and the goats could not back up without falling. What would they do? Finally, instead of fighting for the right to pass, one of the goats knelt down and made himself as flat as possible. The other goat then walked over him, and they both proceeded safely. D.C. Eckner from Our Daily Bread says, "In a sense, this is what Jesus Christ did for us when He left heaven's glory and came to this earth to die for our sins. He saw us trapped between our sin and God's righteousness, with no way to help ourselves. He humbled Himself by giving up His right to use His divine power. He came in the likeness of man and took the form of a servant. Then, by dying for sinful mankind, He let us walk over Him so that we could experience forgiveness and receive eternal life. Christ humbled Himself by giving up His right to use His divine power. He let us walk over Him so that we can experience forgiveness and receive eternal life." Would you put on the mind of Christ in your relationship with one another in PSBC, in your ministry to one another for God's glory? Would you be like Christ, humble in your speech, actions, and manner? We are called to live in unity and put on the mind of Christ for His glory. Paul wrote in this heartfelt letter to the Philippians and called the Philippians not merely to believe the gospel narrated in chapter 2, verses 6 to verse 11, but to become that gospel and thereby to shine like stars in the world and advance the gospel. You and I have our shared oneness in Christ. The oneness that we have as a family, as a body of Christ, is found in the common love we have in God, bound, united in Christ, and stems from the humble example that Christ has shown us. May God enable us to shine like stars in the world by being Christ-like. Amen.